Well, good morning to all of you. Good morning. Yes, good morning. This is going to be a strange one here for me already. Lowell touched on my sermon a little bit in his opening prayer. The first two songs were my shower songs this morning. That was really weird. So it's interesting to me as you come together and make a presentation up here how you can kind of fit things into, providence or God guiding you or something is putting the service together. I've been looking forward to this day, this presentation, for almost 2 months, which for me with a sermon is really strange because I usually pick and choose and throw away many times my topic. And so it's actually kind of strange to be up here getting ready to actually present it because I'm going to have to obsess over something else now for the next couple of months. It's going to be difficult for me, perhaps. It's based, this morning will be based on biblical concepts, but some of it will, be my interpretation of things to try to make it fit into my narrative this morning. And despite discussing this with my English majored sister, Jolene, I'm still not sure if this is an allegory, a simile, a metaphor, a parable, or just middle-aged rambling. I'm not sure just yet. So what I'm indicating is that this is not going to be a regular study of Job or of Paul, and that I'm hoping to have a unique way to encourage a different thought process regarding an issue that we all have. And though it's an issue that we all have, we likely all look at it differently, if we even look at it at all. Maybe we don't even consider it. As a heads up, most of my verse sources this morning are taken from the English Standard Bible this time. So if this doesn't match how you remember the verses growing up, that's English Standard Version that I'll be taking verses from. So I've been contemplating the stages of life. And I wanted to somehow match the stages of life into the four seasons. And for those of you who know the name Frankie Valli, now you've got songs going through your head. That's not true. It's more along the lines of James Taylor. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. I didn't help. I've got you with songs stuck in your head still. It should be obvious this morning when I'm speaking to you, when I'm making this presentation, but let's remember right from the beginning, let's assume that the person that I'm describing in their life is a Christian. So where do we begin? Where does winter go? Does it begin? Is it go at the beginning or does it go at the end? Well, with a little bit of trivia, this is how I made my decision. Did you know that in Australia, winter is from June to August? Yeah, June to August. So if we can describe what we call a warm season on the correct side of equator, is actually winter down there, I guess I can put it wherever I want, right? So we're going to start with winter. Winter. Some of the thoughts that came to mind when I think of winter. Dark, desolate, cold, quiet. Have you ever heard anything so quiet as a snow-covered country with no cars and no bugs and anything at nighttime? Sorry. Winter. Mysterious. A promise of a new beginning. Though this is a time of hibernation, for the human life comparison, let's compare it to the planet's beginning. The start of the greatest book of all time begins with a blank slate, correct? In Genesis, the first chapter, it's described as being without form and dark. So it likely is with us. I don't have any memory of the womb, assuming most of us do not. But I imagine that if you had to describe it, you could call it dark and desolate. And humans struggle at times to imagine how a world could be created out of nothing. And our individual creation is really no less mysterious. Like the earth, we also begin without form. Got to get the right numbers here. Our beginning comes from one cell that is 100 micrometers in size. It's about the width of a hair. That's you, ladies. The men are half of that, 50 micrometers. Their portion that brings forth life is 50 micrometers. You can't even see it with the human eye. And though we have no memories of ourselves in the womb, we can take comfort in the words that God spoke to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 1:5. He says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet of the nations. Though we may not be prophets, I think it's safe to say that he knew us while we were there too. At the end of winter, seeds are planted, and life springs forth. See what I did there? The Bible has many verses regarding planting seeds. First of all, as far as human seeds, Genesis 1:28 commands all creatures, including us, to be fruitful and multiply. James 5:7 advises us this way, "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives early and late rains." Matthew 13:30 says, "Let both grow together into the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into the barn." So without planting, without creation, without the idea of having our plants, or in comparison, our human form, there can be no life. There's nothing to harvest. 1 Corinthians 3:6-9 says, "I planted a seed," Paul speaking, "I planted a seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor, for we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building." Our purpose, then, to plant that seed, to create that being, but plant the seed of God's knowledge. Without proper care, the harvest could be nothing but weeds. And as we saw before, the weeds will be gathered and burned. We don't want weeds. Proper care must include God. So we're on to spring. My thoughts of spring. The planted seeds sprout to life. We have fertilizer. We have growth. There's love and the tenderness of a person growing their garden. There's newness. Beauty's coming to life. Things are fresh. They're vibrant. We have the saying, "April showers bring May flowers." We marvel as things come alive again, or maybe come alive for the first time. Spring, this morning, will cover many stages of our life. Today, it's going to cover from being born to a young adult. We begin life needing nurturing, loving. We need love, direction, protection. Have you ever contemplated how the greatest species here on earth is born so completely helpless? The likely scientific explanation, of course, is that the lower forms of life all live by instinct, whereas we learn by learned behavior, and in the beginning, most of that learned behavior comes from our parents. So that infant, innocent, beautiful, healthy, gaining strength, needs guidance to grow spiritually. Growing better is caused with fertilizer and water. The fertilizer and water, or life, is the Word of God. So Proverbs 22:6 then says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he was old, and he will not part from it. And Ephesians 6:4 reminds us, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So we grow out of childhood, and we begin to understand at some point shortly thereafter the plan of salvation, God's plan for us. And in this human spring of life, we mature into young adults. We used to leave the home. I'm kind of smiling, thinking about stories I'm reading about people staying in their home or their parents' homes forever now. We leave the home, perhaps we fall in love, we marry, and then we begin the cycle over for another generation. Spring has been called the season of love, so it is fitting that we would seek a mate during this time of life. As a little side note, if you want to, search dopamine and spring in your little Google search there when you get home. Spring may actually be the season of love for a logical reason. I was reading up on that, but that was too much of a sidebar. So God designed us to seek a mate. And in Mark 10:7-8, In Genesis 24, they both say, therefore shall a man leave his mother and father and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one. So our progress so far. We're child to young adult to prospective mate to spouse, and now spouse to parent. And our season turns to summer. Summer. The thoughts. Strong storms. Vibrant colors in the garden. Strong growth. Things are developing into what they're going to be. The married couple, we are still in love. But we discover something. We don't agree on everything. When we had kids, our kids cry a lot. And they do it at all hours of the day. And whether you're married or not, you find out that life presents difficult decision-making, that you have money woes and world issues, you have immoral people that you have to deal with, on and on. Those are your strong summer storms at this stage of our life. During those times of trial and the summer storms of your life, go to these verses. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding, and always acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Also, Philippians 4, 12 and 13. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. I want to say, I can do all things through He who strengthens me. So. Also, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, 9 and 2. Resist him, resist Satan, resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And you have suffered a little while, and God of all grace, who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ, will Himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. We, like the mighty oak and the beautiful rose, mature. We mature and we grow stronger in our faith. We lean more and more on God. We know that many have gone through similar trials that we are going through right now. And we have a better understanding of how great the promise of salvation is. But in our seasons of life, summer is passing. Our own children have moved on and created the next generation of seasons. So we approach fall. My thoughts on fall. Aging. Leaves changing colors, then falling. Annuals die, perennials go to sleep. In a wonderful passage, we're reminded to enjoy the days of our youth. For aging, or fall, the last season here, will come. It will come quickly, and there will be difficulties associated with it. Ecclesiastes 11, 9, verses 9 and 10, and then continuing on to the 12th chapter in the first verse says this. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything that you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything that you do. So refuse to worry. Keep your body healthy. But remember that youth, with a whole life before you, is meaningless. Remember now your Creator in the days of the youth. Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Okay, enjoy your youth. It's too late for some of us to get that advice. Hopefully we already had it. But don't enjoy your youth to the detriment of your own spiritual salvation. And I'm quickly understanding what it's going to get worse means too. I think I was talking to my Uncle Steve about this the other day. You know, each new pain, tick, quirk, twitch makes me laugh thinking this is as good as it's going to get. It's going to get worse. I actually believe. To those younger than me, I'm telling you the truth. In a previous presentation up here, I have read the following verses and gave guidance to their meaning. The verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 2 through 7, they cleverly describe an aging body. I'll read those for you now quickly. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few and those who look through the window are dimmed and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low and one rises at the sound of a bird and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid of what is high. The terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms. The grasshopper drags itself and desire fails because man is going to his eternal home. And the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped or the golden bowl is broken or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain or the wheel broken at the cistern and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. It may not be obvious just listening to the words, but it tells us the inevitable story of what will happen to you as you age if you live long enough to experience it. We should take care of this temple, this body, as best we can. However, there are certain things that it's inevitable. There's nothing you're going to be able to do about it to change it. So we should embrace aging with humble dignity. Isaiah 46 and 4 makes this promise. Even to your old age, I am He, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Job 32:7 remarks that those who are older should speak, for wisdom comes with age. And Proverbs 20:29 reminds us that the glory of youth is strength. The gray hair of experience is the splendor of the old. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17 advises this. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So like the autumn leaves, as we see the beauty that we all love to go and drive around or walk around and take a look at, there's beauty at the end of our lives. There's beauty in experience, in wisdom, in maturity, in distinguished and a dignified personality. Perhaps then for our story today, the beautiful changing leaves are the beautiful changing color of our hair. Or perhaps our hair is falling, as the leaves are wont to do shortly after that. But the tree branches become brittle and break, just as our limbs do. And as a flower wilts, so our body tires as the end of seasons arrive. The annuals and perennials both appear to die. Okay, so what's the point? Believe it or not, so far, what I've given you is the introduction. Now, don't look at your watches. We're almost done. I hinted earlier and said that it was an issue that we all have, though we might look at it differently, if at all. What's that issue? We're all dying. I said Wednesday this was going to be therapy for me. I have a little note here. It says, go crazy, but don't scare them. We'll see how far we can go. I love simple mathematics. I love numbers. I remember when I commuted back and forth for 3 years to Chicago, I could tell Teresa within a minute when I was going to be home, just a short portion into the drive. I like to try to figure out how much water goes over our waterfall on a daily basis. When I'm mowing greens, there are 19 of them, I like to figure out about how far I am into it, and I'll even split that 10th green in half so I know when I'm halfway home. I will take the point where I get down to where there's 3 greens left. I think back, okay, when I was on 3 greens ago, that's what I was doing, so this is all the longer that I have to go. When I'm looking forward to a vacation or something else in my future, I say, wow, that's 80 days away. What was I doing 80 days ago? That's all the farther I have to wait. I do this to myself over and over again. And yes, I play the game that if I pass a certain point on a pathway before something else does, that something good's going to happen. I should have done that for my Cubs. You know, I do the same thing with my expected time on earth. I think of many that I know, friends or family that died way before their time. And those that are older than me, I think, okay, I'm 50. They were this age when they passed away. That's all the more time I have left. Because I remember just that many years ago what I was doing. And whether that was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, or if I lived to be 80 years, if it was 30 years ago, I remember what I was doing 30 years ago. And it happened very, 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 not that long ago. I used to tell myself, okay, if I live to be X number of years, I'm approaching halfway there. Well, that's getting kind of hard now when I'm 50 years old. The likelihood of me living to 100 is pretty small. I have chosen, though, if I get a choice, I'm gonna live more like a Suddeth than the Brady side did. That'll give me an extra 30 years. My issue, perhaps you share it, and look, I don't want to plant a seed of fear or a seed of doubt or anything in anyone's mind this morning. My issue is this. I'm afraid of dying. I think about it too often. I think about it sometimes to the point where I have trouble living. I'm so afraid of when I'm going to disappear from this earth that at times I can't even enjoy the time that I'm here. What sent it out of control for me? And I'm probably going to touch some nerves this morning, and I apologize that it'll all be family. And I pray that she never knew or that she doesn't know now, but what really sent me out of control was my Grandma Brady. Because she said for years and years and years that she was ready to go. But when it became quite obvious that the time was coming near, the story changed just a little bit. For whatever reason, she didn't want to die any more than a 20-year-old wants to die. And we gave her comfort in song, prayer, and scripture, and visits. It seemed to help. If you ever have a fear of dying, or if you have this in the future, I wanted today to take this time to comfort you today. Hopefully long before your day is coming. And I wanted to learn how to comfort myself. So death. You know, we're hardwired to avoid death. We were designed to live in communion with God in paradise, but death was brought on because of sin. However, it's a blessing to die. Why? If we didn't die, we would have to live in eternity in a sinful world. That still doesn't stop the fear. Briefly, we have this promise. John chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? With that thought, should we fear death? We have a place to go, a place that our Savior promised us. Maybe the fear is the fear of the unknown. What's it like? What's it like to die? Not many of us get a chance to explain that. You know, is it the white light that people supposedly see? Do you suddenly see family and loved ones? I'm not sure. However, 2 Corinthians 5, 6-8 does help. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So when we leave our body, we're at home with the Lord. Maybe we have a fear of those that we leave behind. Death is separation. The ultimate separation is separation from God. With physical death, we'll be separated from those that we love for a time. If the ones that we love are also Christians, it will be a short time compared to that shared eternity that we hope for. If they're not Christians, this won't be the case. We should take time to discuss where they're going to go when they die. Ultimately, though, and this is important, it is up to them. God gives us the right to choose, and as harsh as it might seem, we need to give the people that same right. Maybe it's just the act of dying itself. You know, not knowing that, if I'm going to make the end of this sermon, if I'm going to make the end of this year, not knowing when can be kind of scary. But, you know, having a terminal illness also can be frightening. The act of dying. But remember, it's only a moment. And it's a moment that everybody has gone through or will go through unless they live to the second coming. Thinking of that moment, take comfort in this passage. Philippians 3:20 and 21 says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself." All the fear, pain, sorrow, regret, anything negative in the world, anything negative in this body will cease to exist. Anticipating that this would be long, I placed some sheets back on the candy table. I can call it the candy table, right? On those sheets was some research that I found when I was researching fear of dying. And in the unlikely event that they will run out, if I think there's 20, 24 of them, I'll produce more. But they include overcoming the fear of death, and they have these steps. They have practical steps, they have physical steps, and they have spiritual steps. Now included in the spiritual steps is this verse that tells what we can expect if we're faithful. These verses. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it didn't know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. See Him as He is. What a thought. Our hope, our faith becomes reality. I pray that these last few thoughts may one day comfort some of you. Maybe even better yet, that it comforted you today if you're another person who quietly suffers sometimes from mania and things that they obsess over. I asked in the introduction, though, where do you put winter? Did you notice in the program that today is called the fifth season? The lesson title? Well, now you're going to find out why. Because winter, spring, summer, fall, right? That's only four seasons. But winter is indeed also the fifth season. It goes at the beginning and it goes at the end. Winter. My thoughts of winter. Winter at the end of our four seasons here on earth, initially, it represents death. But that's a physical death. It also marks the dawn of a new life. I doubt that this winter will be dark and desolate. Winter. Did you notice that I said earlier that the annual and the perennial both appear to die? You know, here on earth, the annual and the perennial, in their life, are hard to tell apart if you don't know what they actually are, because they're both beautiful. They live similar lives. And just by looking at them, you can't tell which one is which. But the annuals have one season and then eternal death. And the perennials have a promise of a new life. So which one are you? I pray that you are all perennials. That's my presentation this morning. I don't know if it brought any comfort to me. I don't know if it brought any comfort to you. But it's nice that I won't have to obsess over this now like I have been since the idea popped in my head. We offer at this time the gospel invitation to those who are lost and are seeking the right pathway to be found, and to those that have been saved but maybe have strayed a little bit away from the things that they know that are right. Whatever way we can help you, please come forward while we stand and sing.